Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of True Crime on Easy Street. What a gray and gloomy day it is. Not as you listen, but as we speak today, it is awful outside. It's just overcast and it's not wintertime yet. It was 80 degrees yesterday. Hopefully by the time you listen to this later on in November from the day we're recording, the cold weather will finally get here because I have some brand new, very warm socks.
And where did you get those?
That I got from Kelly Turner at her famous Halloween party.
Yes.
So I'm wearing them today and I forgot how pink they are.
They're very pink.
But whatever. I'm not complaining. My name is Scott Wright. I'm a mediocre journalist.
Kelly Turner, not a doctor.
Katie Givens, not a lawyer.
Okay, first things first, I owe Katie an apology.
Okay.
Because last week when we mentioned the astronauts, I poo-pooed her idea that the two stranded astronauts are still stranded because some astronauts had come home from the International Space Station, but it wasn't Suni Williams and the other guy.
I trusted you. I never even went and looked that
I
back
did.
Up.
I looked it up that night, and I meant to text you and tell you that, and then I thought, I'll just save it.
I 100% don't remember this conversation.
Okay, well, I did because I got it wrong. So Katie was right. Scott was wrong.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody record this
Mark
moment.
Mark that down.
Mark this episode.
A minute 20.
Yeah, here we go. How many seasons are we in before we heard this?
Yeah.
Looking at staring at five coming
day of
coming
days.
Right at us. Yeah, it was only a matter of time. So you said that you have a shout out, Kelly, and I have one as well. Who wants to go first?
I will go first.
Hit it.
Okay. Thank you for listening, Casey Lemons. She has
All right.
Saw her about a week or so ago, but not as you listen. So I'll just quit trying with the time.
Yeah,
but
since we're working a couple of weeks ahead, we may as well just forget to do anything pertinent and topical because we can't.
Right. But she had discovered our podcast and had been listening. And so I appreciate that so much, Casey.
Yeah.
Thank you, Casey,
for listening to the show. Yeah. My turn.
Yep. Your turn.
So yesterday I was in town and I bumped into Kim Shaw.
Okay.
And her daughter, Riley.
Yeah.
That's Riley with two E's.
She's been a fan of the show for a while.
Yes, and I asked her if we'd ever given her a shout out, assuming that we had, but we had not, she said, or maybe she missed that episode. But anyway, I'm shouting out Riley and Kim Shaw.
Nice.
And I got a quick story to tell you about. They told me this story yesterday.
Okay.
So recently, Riley was driving back from Pensacola where her sister lives, and she listens to true crime all the time, Kim is telling me. She's peppering in as Riley is telling me the story. So Riley was driving home. And she said she always texts her mother to let her know, hey, I'm in Prattville or I'm in Birmingham. Just, you know, and for this trip, for whatever reason, actually, it was because Kim was at a church function. And it's over in Rock Run community here in Cherokee County, Alabama. And they have no cell phone coverage.
Oh, yeah.
Believe it or not. Yeah, dead zone. So Kim wasn't responding. And Riley is becoming increasingly panicked as she drives because, and here's Kim interjecting, because she listens to too much true crime. So by the time she gets home, Riley, from her trip, she is pissed because she has not heard from her mother. So she is literally sitting on the couch when Kim walks into the door. Like, remember when you miss curfew?
Mm-hmm.
Katie, I'm looking at you. And somebody's pissed off at you with their arms crossed in their robe and house slippers. That was Riley. And it's because she listens to too much true crime, Kim assured me. So keep listening to too much true crime, all of you.
Yeah,
and tell us
your
hilarious stories about how it got you into trouble. We will tell it right here on the show.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's it.
All right. I am going to be featured on another podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Yes. Scott, you've been on this podcast before.
Uh-huh. Beyond 21.
Beyond 21.
It is Caitlin Jolly Gossett and her sister, Callie, who is, she has a new last name. She just recently got married. I forget what it is. So, but yeah, that was a lot of fun. We talked about 9/11 when I was on there. You guys are just going to randomly.
No, we do have a topic.
You settled on something.
I'm going to talk to her about why I got into this and wanted to start this. And I have a story.
Well, then I should definitely listen to that one because I forgot.
Yeah. Well, I have a story about a personal experience that happened to me one night in Atlanta that I am going to tell on that story.
Okay.
On that podcast, I've not told it on this one, but I was looking back and talking to some other people. There's a possibility I was almost taken in Atlanta.
All right,
one late night coming in from the airport, and I'm going to tell that story and then how that spawned a fascination with true crime. And
it's a terrifying story.
I look forward to hearing it, and I'm glad you were wrong, or you wouldn't be here today, and neither would either of the two of us.
She was lucky. Yeah. Or, you know, there was a lot of
factors, and luck is definitely one of them.
Okay. This is not some. This isn't some made up bullshit story like the one that Shane told on the first episode of Corner Bar Live.
No, this
where he thought he was being kidnapped.
No, this is a real.
Okay,
he was almost kidnapped too, though.
I don't know. You know how Shane likes to exaggerate things. So,
well, there will be no exaggeration in this story. It's just it is what it is. So, I'm going to be telling that we are recording the episode on November the 18th. So. Mm-hmm. As soon as I know a little bit more about exactly when it'll drop, I'll let you guys know. But until then, go on over there and check out their podcasts from now until then.
We just discussed how we were not going to discuss topical and pertinent things because we're working 2 weeks ahead. So by the time you listen to this, it's probably already happened. So
I'm
look
not
for Beyond
sure,
21.
Check it out and look for my name. And I was going to have Katie on with me, but Katie has law school at that time. Yes. So she can't record with us on that night, unfortunately.
Well, they'll get you on sometime because they mentioned that to me that they wanted all of us to come on. They have guests almost every time.
Yes. I think the guest that is the week before me is actually Casey West.
All right, that
should
be
interesting. As I understand it, so I hope I'm not spoiling anything for their podcast. Sorry if I just did.
It's already happened.
Yeah, probably so.
No worries.
Yeah, no worries. But I'm sure Casey's episode will be great, so I'm going to be listening to that too. So anyways, that's what I'm doing in the month of November. What else are you guys doing in November?
Finishing up class, getting ready to take finals.
I'm chasing around a new puppy with a mop.
Fun.
Yeah, hilarious fun.
How is that going?
I was up yesterday morning at 5 o'clock washing my bedspread.
Yikes.
So,
yeah.
Still working on that one.
I know.
Anyway, Katie, how much more? When you get to take a break sometime soon, right?
We take finals right after Thanksgiving.
Gotcha.
They're a couple weeks long, and then a break till January.
Mm. You guys having the big normal family Thanksgiving routine, whatever that is that you usually do.
Our typical
I assume you have the
lunch,
big bunch at your house.
No, we go to my aunt's house. So we have our typical early lunch. For some reason, it's really brunch. I mean, for some reason, we eat at 11.
We used to do that when I was a kid. And it was mainly because I was
demanding
that we start eating.
Well, that gives you the tryptophan kicks in the afternoon. You can take your nap and still catch football later in the evening.
True. And then we also have a lot of our folks who go hunting afterwards.
Oh, sure.
It's hunting season.
Yeah.
I think it's actually the first day of, or close
of
to
gun
it,
season
it, here in Alabama.
Something
like that.
Somebody was telling me about that. I don't hunt.
Yeah. It is in season in Georgia now, but not Alabama yet. It's a whole month behind Georgia.
Well, really?
Again, probably is by now. As you listen.
We're not that far ahead.
We're a couple of weeks
ahead. Has it been Christmas yet?
Yeah. Do we want to give anybody, are the listeners, any Christmas presents? Do we want to tell them anything that's coming in December? We've got a couple of things coming up, but I know you hate it when we do that, so I'll just not do that. I think you're looking at me.
I think not, because I'm not in the Christmas spirit yet, so hold on.
Understood. Good. I'm glad.
To decorate?
Yes. There is no decorating until after Thanksgiving.
Okay. That was my next
As far
question.
As Christmas goes.
Yeah.
Here's what my house does. In September, I go into this precious pumpkin phase in my home, where it's just like, some little pumpkins. And it's kind of cutesy and whatever, maybe a fall candle.
Yeah.
And then October 1, we turn into what you guys saw in the Halloween party with the cobwebs and the sideways pictures and the tea light candlelights everywhere and the books. I made a book that literally felt like human skin and sewed it.
Like the Necronomicon?
Yeah, it was really like
it's
a little freaky
Barata
even for me.
Nictu.
I don't know what that means, but cool.
Don't put a spell on us here.
No, that's to keep the spell away. If you've never seen Army of Darkness, you don't understand
what
I'm
talking
about. I have
never seen that, but I'll take all the help I can get.
Of course not.
And then after, on November the 1st, after the Halloween party, we go back to Precious Pumpkin.
Okay.
Until after Thanksgiving and then Christmas.
After rising from the dead yesterday, which took me most of the day, got up and started getting Christmas out of the attic.
Sounds just like there's a story there, but
no, just accidents happen.
I understand. You know. Yeah, me too.
But I was getting things out of the attic that I could just carry and just like the sit around Christmas stuff. So I did that yesterday, but no trees are down. Mm-hmm. No, the wreaths are on the door. So I'm probably still covered in glitter.
Well, I noticed that too, but I didn't want to ask why because I don't know what you did last night.
Yeah, no, I was in Rain Tree all day yesterday. I did not.
And that is the neighborhood. That is not a club. in case you're curious.
No, oh, yeah, okay. No.
Just to clear that up for everybody who scratched their head when you said rain tree.
Yeah, sorry, don't come looking for me. Actually, no.
Kitty does not sleep with her door open. Like, you would not believe how many people have told me that 4 or 5 at work alone. Scott, what an idiot you are. Don't sleep with your door open.
I really didn't think we would ever have to have this conversation with you.
The first part of that sentence happens a lot to me at work. Scott, you idiot. And then the second part could be in almost anything. And this time it was don't sleep with your door open.
Yeah. That should not be like shocking advice.
No, no.
I understand.
That, add that to the list of things I never thought I'd have to say. I mean,
now the door of in our house coming from the garage to the house, mm-hmm. if you don't close it good, it'll like pop open.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's happened to me before at your place.
And so I did get up the other morning because I'm usually the first up, and I walk through the house, I check on the cat, this, that, and other, and the door is just open.
How is Ernie?
Oh, he was great that day because he got to go out early.
Oh, yeah, I guess he did.
But, yeah.
I wonder if it was slightly cracked and maybe he helped it along.
Or like how our house is, like, because especially if I leave the garage door open, like the wind mm-hmm. will come through that breezeway and mm-hmm. it just like hits it just right. Because mm-hmm. I've been sitting in the living room and hear, and I'm like,
oh, that's a fun sound to hear mm-hmm. when you're in the living room alone at night.
You can't see that door from the living room either. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ernie does have those thumbs, so he could probably open
the
door.
Yeah, with those extra fingers, maybe he could work the knob.
Would not shock me if he could open a door. But he's got that look in his eye that's like.
Mm. Yeah, he does.
It's. I'm a little scared of cats in general.
Mm. You should be.
And so just like, he creeps me out a little bit.
Yeah. Mm. If you've ever mm-hmm. seen Pet Sematary. Katie has not, I'm guessing. But yeah, the cats will freak you out if you let them.
Yeah. Mm. Do you remember the cat's name?
I don't.
Church.
It's been a while since I've seen it. I read the book.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the movie. Every Stephen King movie, mm-hmm. almost everyone, is a letdown to me after reading the book.
I could imagine. He's a really good author.
Yeah.
So I've read a few of his things, but I could totally see that.
I was 27 years old when I read It for the first time. Mm. Slept with the light on for 3 days.
You know, I randomly have never read any Stephen King. I can't believe I haven't.
I never had. That was the first book. I was 27. I thought, you know what? Let's see what the big deal is. Mm-hmm. And immediately when I finished It, I went to The Stand. Mm-hmm. And then I read, I think, Tommyknockers. They're all good in their own different way. And he is just shit nuts crazy.
He is.
But in a good way.
He is certifiable. Yeah. I recommend Dumaki or Mr. Mercedes.
I've read Mr. Mercedes.
That's a great book.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
He also wrote the Green Mile series?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do we think his books would have been in the library at school?
Yeah,
I would
definitely.
Think so.
Because like, that's what's getting me. I'm like, I would have thought that I would have at least picked him up. Because
I see.
I read that library dry. At Cedar Bluff.
Right.
Like, maybe they didn't have any Stephen King. I don't know. Who was your librarian at the time?
Well, it was Jana Chestnut when I was little, but then later on it was Candace McKinney.
So oh, yeah, okay. Brian's wife.
It was probably there, and I just skipped over it. Or maybe it's not there. Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe
not it or something. But whoever, I would have picked up a big book because that's what I was always looking for, whatever
I
had the most points.
Whoever is the librarian at Cedar Bluff now, if you're a fan of the show, if you listen, drop us a note and let us know if you have any Stephen King.
Do you have Stephen
selections?
King? You know, Leah is the one at Cherokee County High School.
Mm-hmm.
And
Leah.
I can ask her. Nelson.
Oh, okay.
I can ask her and see if mm-hmm. I could see her keeping that, though. She has a pretty diverse library, too. Mm-hmm. So,
all right, let's climb out of this rabbit hole before we lose sight of the sky.
We love the books. If you ever want to talk books, I could do a whole show on that, but that's mm-hmm. not why we're here today. We are here for true crime, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, but we could totally do that sometime. We could have an entire episode where we talk about our favorite spooky books.
Oh, spooky. Mm-hmm. Always good.
I guess maybe next Halloween would be a good time.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe so.
All right, so there's a hint for next year.
Today, we are coming back to the state of Alabama. We've been away for some time, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. been a minute.
Yeah, and I think it's been a minute since we've even had a connection to Alabama.
Yeah.
Has it been?
Probably a month or two.
Yeah.
How familiar are you guys with the Pell City area?
Not very. I know it's somewhere down around Talladega.
Yeah. And generally. Near kind of Birmingham, mm-hmm. Talladega. And more specifically the Chula Vista area.
I've heard of that.
Pell City. Mm. I've been to Pell City, but I'm not, I mean, I know Pell City and I know my way around to a certain extent because I've just been there a few times.
Well, if I go, I'm going to have to go with you because I've never been.
But I'm not well versed in just every nook and cranny of Pell City. But that's kind of where we're in the Moody, Pell City, all that area there near Talladega, Oneonta, not Oneonta. Anyways,
East Boga.
East Boga. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, how did you just know that? That's what I meant.
Because that's where.
But I said Oneonta. That's so weird.
That's where the racetrack is, Talladega Super Speedway, and it's technically in East Boga.
East Boga. Yeah. So we're in that area, but the Moody area, Pell City, Chula Vista, all of that area of it's kind of in the middle and then slightly over to the right part of the state.
All right, I got it.
Wouldn't you say?
I don't know.
If you were looking at a map.
Oh, yeah, if I'm looking at a map,
near Georgia, kind of like over that way.
Draw a line between Birmingham and Atlanta, and it's about 30, 40 miles this side of the Georgia line.
Yep, perfect. Okay. So we are going to talk about the case of Kyla Bobo. I'm going to set the scene for you on the night in question, and then I'll kind of back up and tell you a few things that I know. There's not a whole lot of information about this out there, and part of that it has to do with law enforcement, and I'm not saying that in a negative way.
Okay.
Not because they were not doing their job, but because they were really doing their job and kept a lot of things very quiet.
I see what you mean.
And I believe is why they were finally able to solve this.
Okay.
Okay, so the case of Kyla Bobo. On Sunday night between 9 and 10 p.m. on January the 30th, 2022. That's where we are.
Okay.
Kyla Elaine Bobo received a ride from an acquaintance. She gets this ride from her friend's home to her boyfriend's house. The acquaintance says he dropped her off at the home of her boyfriend. The boyfriend says she never made it to his home. And that's where our story pretty much ends there for a long time.
Well, that didn't take long.
Didn't take long. So you have two people saying, I dropped her off. One guy says, I dropped her off. One guy says, she never made it here. Both can't be true, right? Somebody's lying.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened. And at the time, Kyla Bobo was 32 years old. But let's rewind just a little bit. She was born on September 28th, 1989. Her father at some point worked in law enforcement. I don't know all the details about all of that, but just that he was involved in law enforcement at some point. She has a brother and a sister, mom, dad, the kids, a pretty close family. They lived in Moody, Alabama. As a young lady, she played softball and was a member of a few dance teams. After high school graduation, as sometimes it happens, Kyla began to hang out with the wrong people. Fall in with some folks. Maybe you have a common thing that you may be doing together and you fall in with kind of with the wrong crowd. And this is going to continue on until Kyla is around the age of 30. So just kind of running around with some of the wrong folks. I'm not trashing Kyla by any means. I'm just saying that's what happened. Even so, she was very close with her family, still kept in touch with her family, and was still within this area of town. You know, she born in Moody, but eventually moved to the Pell City area, which is not very far. So, when she is 30, she has her boyfriend, whose name is Blake, and they decide to move in together. This is a home that is owned by Blake, and they move in, and it is located in Pell City. The two had a relationship for some time, and they ended up living together for 2 years there. So that fast forwards to she's 32 years old, and we're in 2022.
Okay.
On Thursday, January 27th, 2022, Blake and Kyla have some sort of argument. I'm not sure why they were arguing or even how severe the argument was, but Kyla leaves and is going to go and stay with some friends who also live in Pell City. They live in a trailer on a lot. They rent the trailer from a man named Norman. That's all we know about him. These are two female friends, and this property is located on Cane Creek Drive. By Sunday, January the 30th, 2022, Kyla's going to catch this ride from this, quote, acquaintance back to her boyfriend's house. Now, who is this acquaintance? The acquaintance name is Maxwell. The two girls who live in the trailer that she's staying with say she got a ride from Maxwell. I am unclear at how well anybody knew Maxwell. Don't know if he was, what kind of an acquaintance he was.
Yeah.
I have my theories as to how they knew this Maxwell.
He could be boyfriend or drug dealer. We don't know. Or somewhere in between.
Something like that. Because there are substance use issues throughout the story.
Maybe just a plug, someone who had something. And
yeah.
Yeah. And could have just been somebody that they just met at a party or knew or whatever. But anyway, she's going to get in the car with Maxwell, and he is going to take her, according to him, to Blake's house that night. Are you looking for a health option in Cherokee County where the staff makes you feel just like family? Then look no further than Cherokee Family Healthcare.
Cherokee Family Healthcare treats patients of all ages with emphasis on personalized care. Call 256-266-1021 to schedule an appointment. Or just walk into the office at 819 West Main Street and Center. If you aren't feeling well, and let them help you return to good health.
Connie Geimer and the staff at Cherokee Family Healthcare are accepting new patients, and they accept most insurance plans. So whether you're suffering from a cold, the flu, aches or pains, or want to learn more about weight loss or preventative testing, make an appointment by calling Connie Geimer and the staff at Cherokee Family Healthcare at 256-266-1021 and let them get you on your way back to good health.
Kelly and Katie, let me tell you guys a quick story. Recently, while I was dining at Easy Street, I met a man from Georgia who told me that he and his wife were visiting the Weiss Lake area, planning to relocate here permanently when he retires soon. I told him the first thing that came to my mind, call Greg Oliver at Go Realty. The number is 256-504-3847. Greg is the owner and the broker at Go Realty, right here in Cherokee County. If you're thinking of moving here or anywhere in Northeast Alabama or Northwest Georgia, if you're looking for property anywhere in the area, call Greg. He has a full list of waterfront, residential, commercial, farm, and investment properties, and he's ready to help you find exactly what you're looking for. He's got 25 years of experience in the real estate market. Go again and look at that complete list that he currently has for offer. That's Greg Oliver, WeissLake.com. So visit the website or call Greg Oliver at...
What's that number again?
Thanks, guys. 256-504-3847.
And as we move into our holiday season, the Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce wants to remind everyone to shop local.
Cherokee County has some lovely shops that you can patron throughout the holiday season. Get any kind of gifts that you need. Scott, what kind of gifts do you need?
I don't really need anything, but there are plenty of things that I want, and you can get a lot of those things right here in Cherokee County. You can get a great meal at one of the many restaurants that is a member of the Chamber of Commerce. It's as simple as filling up your gas station, your gas tank at a local station before you go out of town to do some shopping, if you have to leave town, but we hope you don't. Stay right here in Cherokee County.
Oh, yeah, and my gift that I want you to get me, Scott, you can definitely buy local, so I'll let you know about that later.
Well, you're going to ruin the surprise.
So we want to challenge all of you to make sure to do as much shopping as you can this holiday season right here in Cherokee County.
And if you need more information, visit cherokee-chamber.org.
Guys, we want to let you know that don't forget that Easy Street is now open for lunch 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday at 11.
Great lunch menu.
Let's do lunch.
Brand new. We've shared it on our Facebook page, and I know that Shane has also shared it on the Easy Street Facebook page, so it's easy to find the menu, and it's terrific. Everything on it.
Yes. What's your favorite thing, Scott?
I like the hamburger steak with the mashed potatoes. The mashed potatoes are better than I can make, and I make pretty darn good mashed potatoes.
No, they are.
They're terrific.
Katie, what's your favorite?
I like, well, you can get a flatbread pizza. I also like just the chicken fingers.
Yeah, chicken fingers are great. Best chicken fingers in town. How about you, Kelly?
I like the rice bowl with the chicken and the vegetables.
It's all
the
good.
Yum yum sauce.
Ooh.
So delicious. You're not going to go wrong. Salad bar's always fresh. Have lunch at Easy Street. You might see us there one day.
Yeah, you never know. 11 to 2 every day is when the menu prices on the lunch menu are
That sounds right.
That's right. Something like that. Everything that comes out of that swinging door is delicious at Easy Street, we promise.
Yes. Thank you to Easy Street for being our primary sponsor, our main sponsor. Yeah.
Thanks, Shane. Go eat lunch.
Yes. Yes. Come see us.
So he says, dropped her off. Blake says, no, she never made it. But I need to talk about her being reported missing because Maxwell is not going to report her missing because he says she dropped her off.
Okay, right. Yeah.
And then you have Blake who says she's been gone since the 27th.
Mm, yeah.
So on February the 1st, Kyla's grandmother passes away. And the family starts reaching out to her about this. Mm-hmm. And she's not responding. Mm. The family continues on up until February the 7th to get in touch with her and let her know that her grandmother has passed. They bury her grandmother on the 7th. And when she doesn't show up for that, they immediately know that something is majorly wrong. They're already suspecting something's wrong because they never have this where she doesn't respond to them. She's still close with her family.
But geez, 10 days has gone by, and we all know the first 48 hours when somebody's missing are the most important.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And who knows how long would have gone by if her grandmother hadn't passed.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, the police are already starting at a disadvantage here with her being reported missing. So they're going to report her missing. Now the police are going to initially question who? You want to guess who they're going to question first?
The boyfriend.
The boyfriend, of course, right? So Blake says she left here January 27th. I haven't seen her since. Many people suspect that Blake is responsible for her disappearance. And that is such a cliche. I mean, there's a reason that's a cliche. Mm-hmm. The boyfriend, you know.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
And they've had an argument on the 27th. Fast forward to the 1st is when her family first starts trying to contact her. They can't get a hold of her. So they're thinking, you know, it's closer to around the 1st of February where something's happened. And people are going to start turning on Blake. Now, Blake is going to agree to take a polygraph test.
No.
Well, he doesn't show up for it. They schedule it, but he doesn't show up for
it. Like,
and a lot of people were like using that as their aha moment.
Don't ever take a lie detector test.
We've said that here. And let's get on this soapbox yet again. Why do you not do this? Why do you say no to this?
Because it doesn't help you either way. If you told the truth, they're going to lie to you and tell you that you failed it.
Well, it's inadmissible.
Inadmissible anyway.
They'll say, oh, we can't use that. That doesn't mean anything. You told, you know.
It can only hurt you.
It can only hurt.
You are screwed either way.
Yep.
So I stand behind Blake's decision not to show up.
Same here.
You're also screwed from the second they ask you to take a lie.
You really are.
Because you're at the top of the list.
Because when you refuse, you look suspicious. Mm-hmm. When you take it, you're suspicious. I hate when you're in the situation, but
yeah, that sucks. If you ever find yourself in that, gosh, and I hope
lawyer,
just say the one word.
How many times
will you take a polygraph? Lawyer. Mm-hmm. That's my final answer.
If you haven't figured out yet that you are on the top of the suspects list, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
That should tell you at that point. Mm-hmm. When they say, let me translate. Will you take a polygraph? We think you did it.
Yeah.
Lawyer. Okay, so we've gotten on that soapbox yet again for you. And look, we're not trying to help somebody who commits a crime get away with it. We're trying to help somebody who hasn't committed a crime, who's somehow found their way into the spotlight.
Yeah.
Just, you know, let your lawyer work that out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Others have believed that Maxwell was responsible for her disappearance. And in fact, Maxwell has a history of crime.
Beep, 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 beep.
That's
beep,
a rather, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So the police, after they focus in on Blake, they're going to turn their attention to Maxwell. And I'm not really sure where all that went with the investigation because they were very, very tight-lipped about this whole thing.
Well, that's the right way to run an investigation, right?
I think so. Mm-hmm. And you'll, hopefully agree with me before this podcast is over today. Nothing is revealed regarding any of their interviews with Blake or Maxwell. Now, rumors in the area are going to start spreading. I mean, this is a bigger area than where we live, but we get it.
We know how the grapevine works.
Yeah, it's a non-urban area of Alabama.
Yeah.
We understand.
Sure.
And the rumors are going everywhere. And the thing about rumors, some of them may be rooted in a little bit of truth, but then you got to just dig through all that. And I don't even begin to understand how detectives do this in these small areas. They know how to kind of do that.
But every one of those leads has to be run down, and most of them are dead ends.
And it's got, I mean, I can't imagine how exhausting it is. So they're trying to get these different tips and check up on these leads and interview these two guys. And some rumors start going around the area regarding a nature preserve where the body may be hidden. That's how it goes. Okay. And someone actually calls police and says that Kyla was seen in a yard in the property, on a property near this reserve. Mm-hmm. That's all they said about the tip. No other details.
Okay.
So they follow up on it. They speak to the property owner near this nature preserve, but they don't turn up anything. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they clear this property owner because they check on this lead and then they quickly move on.
Mm-hmm.
Tips continue to be called in to the police regularly. They had a specific detective that they had and a call number, and this rocked on for a while. Rumors are going to continue running wild. Fast forward to November of 2023. So we go from February of 2022 on into November 23.
Wow.
They're still collecting this information, taking tips, following leads. They're keeping a very tight lip on everything that they're doing until November of 2023, when the skeletal remains of someone are found in a wooded area in St. Clair County near Pell City.
Okay. So not too far away from where she went missing.
Right. The St. Clair County Criminal Investigation Unit, the St. Clair County Drug Enforcement Unit, and Jacksonville State University Center for Applied Forensics collected the evidence of the skeletal remains.
Well, we've talked about JSU's forensics department before.
World renowned. Yeah.
And they're not that far from Pell City, so.
Not at all. And the remains were processed for DNA testing by the Alabama Department of Forensic Sciences. So all of these agencies are working together because we have skeletal remains.
Yeah.
So you don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to figure this out. Fast forward again until February of 2024.
Okay.
2 years later, they are positively identified as Kyla.
Oh.
Now, I'm finding all of this information from CBS42.com, WBRC.com, all of these local news outlets.
The Birmingham affiliates.
And all of that. And you can do a Google and find these articles and read this information about Kyla's case. And you're going to find that they still are pretty tight-lipped about what's going on.
Okay.
But on March the 4th, 2024, which is a month after they identify the remains, they arrest a man and charge him with Kyla's murder. And does anybody want to guess who that is?
Is it Maxwell?
Norman.
Maxwell.
Okay.
Maxwell.
She beat me to it.
There you go. Maxwell St. John, 35, was arrested. This is right from CBS42.com. Monday, he was arrested and charged with the murder and abuse of a corpse and the disappearance of Kyla Bobo. And according to the sheriff's office, her family reported that she had lived in and around the area for most of her life. The investigation launched into her disappearance. And then they talk about the skeletal remains in 2023. They identified them as being Kyla Bobo's. And when it comes time and they say it is Maxwell St. John, he's already in jail serving an 11-year sentence on rape charges at Bullock Correctional Facility. So he's a winner.
Yeah, all the way around.
Yeah. So
he is in jail.
He's in jail.
When they mm-hmm. issue this.
2 years okay. later, in March of 2024, when they actually finally say it was him. They go public.
I'm curious to know what the evidence is, if that's... was still too tight-lipped for us to know.
We are still tight-lipped about the evidence in this case.
Okay.
And I don't know how much, again, with skeletal remains, I don't know what all they can tell.
Right.
Right.
I know they can tell some things based on how much of this is intact.
A blunt force injury or...
Sure.
That would show up.
Mm-hmm. It sounds... I can't imagine what her family is going through. Especially when they tell you the person who did it is in jail for rape mm-hmm. already.
Yeah, that's where your mind
and
goes.
And an 11-year rape sentence.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, even Alabama has some of the strictest laws on that. Mm-hmm. And even that's a long rape sentence. I mean, we've gotten mm-hmm. bigger ones, you know, now. But
yeah, your
he's a violent offender is what that tells me.
Mm-hmm. Your mind doesn't go to good places.
No, and you think about, what did our loved one go through mm-hmm. in the last moments mm-hmm. of her life?
Yeah.
And I can't imagine what they are going through. So they are, the sheriff, St. Clair County sheriff, his name is Billy J. Murray. How about that? Bill Murray.
That's almost a requirement in Alabama to have three names, right?
But I mean, I just
if you're yeah,
Bill Murray.
Yeah.
I love the fact that his name is Bill Murray.
Yeah.
But he has a quote. He says, "I would like to give a special thanks to the St. Clair County Drug Enforcement Unit for their hard work and timeless efforts to bring this case to where we are today. I would like to say thank you to the family of Kyla, who assisted law enforcement in remarkable ways to bring this case to a successful conclusion." So that's pretty much what Bill Murray has said about this, the sheriff.
So is there a trial date?
I'm so glad you asked. There is a trial date. And so they, in the meantime, they're going to bring him from Bullock mm-hmm. Correctional into St. Clair County because he's got to, you know, he's got to have his day.
He's got
there,
to face the music.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm scrolling through all my little articles here and I've got like stclairsheriff.org is another reference where you can find a little bit of information regarding
this. I see you doing that and I'm curious. Usually you've taken your glasses off and on like a dozen times
it's
by
huge.
Now.
It's huge. I got it. I've blown the words up.
I knew that's something
why
was going
that's
on.
Why I'm having to scroll so much.
It's one word at a time on the screen, so it's taking a minute.
Yeah. this is from lawandcrime.com, March the 5th, 2024. Deputies have not said how St. John killed Bobo, why he allegedly murdered her, or if the two had any previous connections with one another. So they're not talking about anything. Now, on September the 17th, 2024, Maxwell pleads not guilty to the charges.
Mm-hmm.
And they set a trial date for November the 5th, 2024. And that is when you run out of information on this case at this time.
So is the trial is ongoing? We
so
assume,
everything
if it
is still unfolding as we are talking right now.
All right.
So what we're going
to
do
have
is,
an update.
Yeah, we're going to follow up with all of this. And hopefully once this all plays out, we can come back to you and tell you why they, I mean, you know, when they go forward and they arrest someone and press these charges, they have something.
Well, it's
not that they're just pissing in the wind. I mean,
you
know,
a sealed indictment, because if it's not, then somebody ought to be able to get a hold of it and find out at least what the basis for the charges are, right, Katie?
Yeah.
Why go to the trouble of?
Not exactly.
Okay, maybe not. It just seems like it wouldn't do anybody. It doesn't matter at this point if the facts in the case get out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and as we speak, I'm sure if I had gone to the opening statements of this trial, I would know this.
And I really couldn't find anything to tell me that the trial, in fact, did start on the 5th.
But that just from earlier news reports,
right,
that was
because
the
it could have been,
there could have been
it
delays.
Could have been moved.
There,
yeah.
It could have been
that's
moved.
That's what I was trying to look and see if I could see anything. And I would think if the trial had started, there would be
some kind of information from all of these news sources, because they've done such a good job of covering it over the past 2 years.
Moved that trial. I wouldn't imagine if he pled not guilty in September. When did he get arrested? They moved him over in March.
They arrested him, quote, in March.
What county? It's St. Clair County.
It is St. Clair County.
Well, yes. One phone call to the St. Clair County Circuit Clerk would answer that question.
Yep. Well, I'm betting this trial got moved. I bet no one was prepared for a trial that quick.
Because he just says not guilty on the 17th of September.
Yeah, getting ready for a murder trial like that quickly. I bet his trial won't be until at least April of next year.
Continuances, discovery. Mm-hmm. If he's got a decent lawyer, he's trying to drag this out as much as possible.
Yeah, I can
make sure he's prepared.
And how much of that, Katie, gets brought in? The fact that he's already in jail for rape and serving time for rape, does that get to be brought into this trial?
Not always.
Okay, because I don't know how, and this is, please forgive me because this is, you know, when we're talking about Kyla, but when you find skeletal remains, I think your case for proving rape is out the window. Is it?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, how would you even,
unless you,
especially with him saying, I didn't have anything to do with this. I dropped her off. That's well, it. Well,
murder's enough.
Yeah, murder.
But I understand what you're saying.
So, and where I'm going with that is, since this is a rape, is that's kind of left over to the side and that's not going to go into
inadmissible.
You can't always use prior crimes in court, but like there's certain things that could happen that could get them brought in. So it would just,
I wonder, and I guess it depends on a lot of different factors. Is he going to be able to dress in a suit when he sits at the table? Or are they going to bring him in his orange suit with his handcuffs on?
I'm not sure.
You're not supposed to be in handcuffs at the table.
Okay.
But they
could walk him in handcuffs and take him off when he sits down. I mean, I've seen that done in the movies. I assume that's true.
Yeah, but he would come in before the jury then.
Gotcha.
You're not supposed to be in front of the jury shackled.
Can they even say that he's incarcerated currently?
I could see why. I don't know. That's a good question. Can they even say? I mean, we know it's been reported.
Mm-hmm. I would think you. Well, I mean, I guess that because he's going to be incarcerated anyway because he's.
He's going back to the jail.
Because he's got this charge and he's, you know. So
does he go into another room and take off the suit and put the orange jumpsuit back on and go back?
Yeah, usually they're not in their jail clothes.
But I do imagine he'll be transferred to St. Clair County while this is going on. He may even still be there now. I'm not sure.
Because they're usually sitting, like even when voir dire or jury selection is happening, they're usually sitting there clothed, like normal clothes. Because you're supposed to be.
And Katie, you've had jury duty before. You've seen some of this.
I was called. Yeah, I was only there for the first day. But
you got dismissed, huh?
But I did see the defendant sitting there in his normal. I wouldn't have been able to pick him out immediately if I didn't just know who he was, which is one of the reasons
you got dismissed. Yeah.
Did you hope to be on the jury, or did you dress like a crazy person to get out of jury duty?
I would have liked to have served on the jury, but it was really difficult because with like class. If court goes to 5, I have to leave at like 4 to get to class. So it was a whole thing.
Yeah. I'm sure your class would have excused you, though, had you been on that, right?
Don't technically get excused absences. You can miss 3 classes a semester. Ooh. So it's like.
That would have been bad.
It was like it would have been fine because it's each class you can miss 3. So if I'd have missed a whole week of class, it would have been fine in the grand scheme of like attendance wise. But it just.
As I recall, you and. We've mentioned him before, Shorty West. Mm-hmm. We're both called for this at the same time.
Was this recently?
Enough.
It was last year. Last year.
When did we talk about this?
We didn't. We haven't.
Because I thought maybe I was drunk that day.
And there's that case is still kind of.
Yeah, when that case gets all
finished,
pieces,
we might can talk about that one because that is a local case.
Is that the.
That we definitely. We're not even going to. We'll tell the whole story once it's over.
All right,
yeah,
that sounds
definitely.
Good.
And we'll probably get Shorty in here and Katie to give us some.
Did Shorty end up on the jury?
No.
Okay.
He also knew the person. So.
Got it.
Yeah. So, anyway, so I imagine all this is probably going on for this case right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we will definitely have more updates about it. But her family was very important in making sure, working along with law enforcement to keep this case going, but it didn't seem like to me that that law enforcement ever dropped it. They were constantly continuing to work it and still are being very, very careful what they reveal, because they, you can tell they are prioritizing this trial and making sure that everything is all the T's crossed, all the I's dotted.
So the name of this case would be Alabama v. Maxwell St. John.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to call the St. Clair County Circuit Clerk's Office.
That would be great.
Tomorrow,
Scott,
mediocre journalist that I am.
And get see what they can tell me more information. Yeah. Because as far as the search and looking at other, I listened to another podcast who had done this episode. And when that episode came out, they hadn't found the skeletal remains and they had not identified Maxwell as the culprit.
So they didn't really have a lot.
They just got the case out there and was like trying to, you know, provide some just general information and, and hopefully keep it alive and making sure that everybody's still talking about it.
Okay.
So we are a little bit more at an advantage than they were at this point because we've had more developments in the case. So we'll continue to
with plenty more still to come. It sounds like.
Definitely so. And my heart goes out to her family and to the just this community that's been affected by this. This is really difficult when this happens in your community. It's hard.
It changes the whole community.
Everybody. You start with your actual victim, which is Kyla, but then you have her family and her friends, and all of these people are also victims. Then you also have Blake, who's a victim because he's been zoned in on as, and people thought he was responsible. And then, you know, you go on out and you widen that circle and then your whole community is upset.
You remember, and I remember what happened around here in 1982 when Judith Ann Neely committed.
Oh, the whole, it was awful.
You know, she became the boogeyman. That's what mom threatened you with.
Yeah. And Glenn Holiday.
Glenn Holiday
became the boogeyman here. And he technically was only in town for long enough to catch a ride on Main Street. And drive away. But the stories are just, you know, crazy about all the terror he caused in those 2 minutes it took him from walk up to Main Street and get in the car.
And we've covered both of those cases right here at True Crime on Easy Street. So you can go back to season one. Don't listen to episode one. we did that better later on. That was actually, we went back and did Judith Ann Neely. That was our 100th episode.
Yes.
And we did. It was pretty much the same exact episode.
But we felt like we did it better.
Well, we just knew not to lean away from the microphones when we spoke.
Yeah. And, you know,
Katie forgot to tell us about that the first time.
How to put the right settings in so that our voices don't sound like we're in a box.
Yeah. We've gotten a lot. We got a lot better after the first one.
Yeah.
And somebody a couple of weeks ago, I think it was Kelly Kiernan. Oh, shout out to her and her husband,
Kelly.
David, by the way.
Hey, Kelly and David, thank you.
She was telling me that they listen, and she said, I went back and listened to the first one, and I immediately cringed. And I said, no. You started at the wrong end.
Yeah.
Go to the other end and work your way back.
Yeah, just go in order. If there's a part one, two, or three, of course, go in order.
Yeah.
Other than that, you don't have to go in order. Sorry about that. I know Casey Lemons was telling me that she kind of jumped around and
I do that. If I get attached to a podcast, I don't feel obligated to take them in order. I jump at the ones that are interesting to me.
Right. We're not a cumulative process.
Not at all.
If there's a part one and a part two, have we ever done a part three? Yeah, we did a part three.
Yeah, sure.
I think we've got a part four.
Have we?
Murdoch
May.
That's our only fourth. Yeah, four-parter.
If there are parts, then do those in order. Otherwise, just jump in wherever you want to. Mm-hmm.
And don't worry, we'll remind you. Anytime we do a part two or a part three, we're like, hey, stop. Go back.
Go back and listen to this, definitely. So
yeah, we did the Manson murders in three parts. I think we did, did we do Alcatraz in three parts?
I don't know.
I think that was two.
But
the Manson murders was three.
Okay.
And maybe the Zodiac was three, because I'm listening to it again for the first time in a couple of years, because it is pertinent to something that I'm covering in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm back on that.
Man, the Zodiac was a really good one. That's one I would suggest everyone going and listening to, because Henry nailed it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Our good friend Henry Johnson came and did the voiceover.
Yeah.
Read one of the Zodiac letters that was famously sent to the newspaper.
And he nailed it.
Newspapers, plural. Yeah. There were three papers in San
Francisco. Thank you for that again, Henry.
I know. Yeah. So good.
Very much.
And I think, Scott, you and I were talking about just recently that we both know who the Zodiac was.
There's a new documentary series, and the title of the documentary series escapes me, but I just finished it, and it's pretty much, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that points specifically to one person mm-hmm. whose name is mentioned as, he was always a suspect.
Go ahead and name him, Scott.
Arthur Lee Allen.
Yep.
Lee Allen.
I can't be 100% sure that he was the Zodiac.
I'm 99.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Because he was in the places where two of those murders occurred. In a weird circumstance, he had some his neighbor's children. He liked to drive them around, and the kids said years later, and they're the ones who are interviewed in this mm-hmm. series as adults now, mm-hmm. elderly adults. Mm-hmm. And they say that he would leave us in the car for a couple of hours and we didn't know where he was. And mm-hmm. it was in two cases, it was where dead bodies later turned up.
But he used them as alibis.
That's right.
Because he was with. Yeah. That's a weird alibi.
Yes. It worked.
I couldn't be the murderer because I was driving around town with other people's children.
It worked.
That's kind so of, gross. Just think about that. That's strange. Mm-hmm. And who are these people that let their children ride with him? Was he a friend?
Yeah, he was just a family friend. Yeah. And a neighbor, I think, even.
You know what? And I just forgot, and I need to keep this in mind, that these folks don't walk around acting weird all the time.
No, that's one of the things about a psychopath is, I can't believe it was the guy next door.
They're very charismatic.
Yeah.
And that also explains why people like Bundy are able to.
Ted Bundy, perfect example.
How do I say this? Like, how did he get dates? Like he's getting, women are fascinated with him. And is he the one who got married after he was in prison?
He
had a kid after he was in prison. I know he had a kid after being incarcerated mm-hmm. and not escaping. You know, he had a couple of escapes.
Yeah, what's the title of the book that his girlfriend wrote? The Stranger Beside Me? I haven't read it yet. It's on my list of books to read soon, but just because I'm interested, not because, mm-hmm. do we have any plans to cover the Ted Bundy case?
We could, but I do recommend the movie, the Zac Efron movie.
Oh, yes, that one.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, and that's Phil Collins' daughter,
Lily
Collins, who plays the girlfriend.
Yeah.
Who writes the book, The Stranger Beside Me.
Yeah,
and I forget her name, but that'll get you there.
So, but you know, this is all we have from Pell City today, and I hate that I didn't have any more details for you, but I wasn't gonna just punt on this one because I think it's important, and Kyla did not deserve what happened to her.
Certainly
and
not.
We want justice for her, and that's a local case, and so of course we got to get behind it, and we got to get behind her, and we want the right person called out and arrested and convicted for this.
We'll have updates about this one.
Definitely right? So that's the case of Kyla Bobo, and more to come on that.
We're fading away. Seems like we just sat down today, guys. It's always fun to sit here in the Easy Street Studios, aka Katie's office, and and bring you another one of these. We thank you for listening again, as always. Please shout us out. Reach out to us on Facebook. We do a pretty good job of keeping Facebook updated. Instagram the same way. Yeah. Twitter, whatever the hell it's called, not so much. But reach out to us on Apple iTunes. Mm-hmm. Give us a 5-star review. Leave your damn name.
Yeah, that way we know.
And we can shout you out like we did several people today, and we love to do that, and we love to have you guys listen. So you keep listening, and we'll keep talking.
Yep.
Is that it, guys? Are we done?
We're done.
Good night, everybody.